welcome to the Clear Tai Chi topic of the week and our video podcast or video vidcast, whatever they call it these days. I'm here, Sifu Clear, with Greg Nolmeyer up in Michigan.
Hey, hey.
Harry Legg in New Jersey and outside of New York City.
Yeah, but hello there, Sifu. Hello.
Jim Kelly in Boca Raton.
Sifu, thank you.
And Matt Holker here in Maryville, Tennessee, outside of Knoxville.
Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody. Today's topic is the Tai Chi fighting method. I started teaching the method in the mid-1990s. Every student that I've taught the Tai Chi fighting, now there, when I say that, there are multiple Tai Chi fighting methods, more than one, and I've got, I don't know, a good half dozen or more. But there are some that are a bit more prolific and common than you see talked about quite a bit more in the Tai Chi classics. And so there's that are specific to methods and teachers and that kind of thing. And so I had one of the methods that I started teaching in the mid-1990s. Every student that I've taught that Tai Chi method to has had to use it in a real situation, which is over a dozen of the people that I've taught, they won the fight, the attack. They came out of the attack intact, well, not harmed at all. And they won the fight by knocking out the attacker in the first 3 seconds of physical contact. So not when the person was threatening and all that. That can go on for a long time, especially at 10 feet of distance. But once the person came in to get them, 3 seconds or less, boom, 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 fight was over. And there are two exceptions to that. One of them is that a student whose name was Harry, the attacker threw a punch in. He smacked the guy's arm, did it with the proper Tai Chi skills, broke the guy's arm on the first contact, and that ended the situation. I had another student who owned a country western sports bar in Fort Collins, Colorado. He learned the method. He liked to fist fight. He would bounce in his club on a regular basis, and he liked the fist fight doing that. And during the program, he kept going into fist fighting mode. And I kept teaching him, do not do that. This method beats that. And was able to show him that and convey that to him. But at the same time, because he kind of liked the brawl, he kept doing that. But I kept bringing him back, making him do the method. And and so he actually got attacked one night, a guy that had been a prison guy that was like 6'4" or 6'5". And the dude that owned the bar, and I'm trying not to name people here, he was like 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", somewhere in there. So a lot shorter than this dude. And the other dude was you get prison guys there that are like these bull riders, and they're built like, you know, all thin and wiry and lumberjack looking strong. And riding bulls apparently takes a lot of power and strength and all that kind of, and the prison thing and this kind of tough. This dude hit out in the bar, 10,000 square feet. And was in there after closing, after everybody's gone. The dude that I taught is working on the office doing the books. It's like a Friday, Saturday night, all the money stacks there. This dude comes in the office door and he sees him and he attacks him, and he's doing this. The student that I taught, he turns around and he starts fist fighting the guy like he likes to do, found himself on his back with the dude on top of him, pounding him. He said he heard my voice in his head tell him, do the program. He started doing the program from his back, like as best he could for for what he was taught, and said he knocked the guy out, doesn't know how he did it because of the flurry of all the stuff, and got up and called the cops and survived. And if he hadn't done that, he said dude would have killed him. And so the method, and that's just two of the times, the other 10 plus times, knockout to the attacker with them on the feet doing the method just as it's taught, less than 3 seconds. And that's the effectiveness of that part, that method of fighting for the program. So that for serious self-defense, that's a method that I use. I taught it to both my kids. I taught it to them when they were under the age of 5, and all that kind of thing. And it's the one that I'll make sure that they've got long-term, even if they don't have anything else. That method's pretty simple. The basics of it can be taught in about 3 hours. Somebody can get good at it within somewhere between 2 to 3 days. It's fairly simple and straightforward, but it definitely has a really strange look to it. It is Tai Chi, and it looks like, I don't mean it looks slow motion. I'm talking about the way that you're using your body. It doesn't look like a guy fist fighting at all. It's really obviously different than that. It doesn't look like a wrestler or anything else either. It looks like something that's really odd. And if you slow it down, you go, oh, that's Tai Chi. And it's clear that that's what's going on. The Tai Chi fighting method is the Tai Chi fighting method. It does not look like anything else. It doesn't look like the guy that wants to scrap or boxing. It doesn't look like wrestling. It doesn't look like an MMA guy. Nothing like that. It is a defense method as well. Not at least that part. Other ones are more offensive. That one has a very strong defensive component. It's designed to defend you. Tai Chi fighting methods across the board include strikes and a lot of different kinds of strikes. Da, right? They talk about da, na, which is seize and grab. Fa, which is explosive energy and that kind of a thing. So da. Punches, it includes that. It includes open hand strikes and lots of them. It includes kicks, elbows, knees, stomps, headbutts, specific moves in Tai Chi that are showing headbutts. As soon as you see it, you go, well, yeah, why else would you be doing that? And there's other stuff to it. It doesn't just do like a headbutt alone or an elbow alone. It's a more sophisticated application than that at the same time. And it's simple use. And when I say this, a lot of times if you headbutt somebody, it's not like you reach out your head and you butt them and you didn't do anything else. You grab them and do it. And there's some moves in Tai Chi that have that kind of a look. Slow motion and all that stuff, typically done, but where it's in there. Anyways, pinching, ripping, and tearing techniques, throwing techniques, grappling, small joint manipulations, trapping, bone breaking, evading, and a lot of different kinds of evasions, external, obvious, and then some internal ones, escapes from holds, whip hand strikes, the pressure point techniques, nerve strikes, nerve plexus attacks, this kind of thing too. Poison hand demok, eye, throat, and groin strikes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That all exists within the Tai Chi system and in ways that are very intelligent, and that somebody that's a fighter, even if they're looking at it funny for a second, if you were to isolate it and show them, pretty quickly they go, yeah, okay. I don't know if I'd do it like that, but that makes sense. You know, and would that work? They'd be like, yeah, that could work. It's not what they're familiar with from the way that, because there's a flow and a way. A boxer's got a flow and a way. A wrestler's got a flow and a way. Tai Chi has its own flow and way of going about things that, you know, would a boxer look at it and go, I might be able to use some of that? Yep. Would a wrestler? Yep. But is it different? Just like those two things are different from each other. Yeah, it's got its own way and presentation and things that are going on.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
When Tai Chi fights, it is vicious. Every move in Tai Chi has at least one eye, throat, or groin strike concealed in the movement. For much more on that, go to viciestaichi.com. I created a course that shows where the quick and dirty fight enders are hidden in the Tai Chi form. Many of the applications are so simple that you can pick them up just by watching the video. The course has a broad selection of moves that are common in most Tai Chi forms. And once you watch the applications in this program, you will start seeing eye, throat, and groin strikes everywhere in Tai Chi. Once again, that course is available at viciestaichi.com. That's viciestaichi.com.
If you can win a fight with Tai Chi or any other fighting method depends on a number of factors. How well do you know the method? How much have you used it and practiced it, and for how long? How trained up are you? It's not no good if you think have to in a situation, if you have to think about it or if you struggle to do it, that's not going to be functional for you. A boxer doesn't have to think about boxing. You may not be very good at it, or a brawler, but they're not going, oh, I think I'm going to hit him like with this punch. They don't do that because they're already hit a lot. Right? Wrestler doesn't go, I think I'm going to grab him. They train to shoot and get in there. And even if their grappling skills aren't so hot, they know they need to get in there and start grappling. And the Tai Chi is the same way. It's that you can't be really poor at it or having to think about it and struggling with it and expect it to work, right? How capable and ready are you in a situation? This is really important and an overlooked part in a lot of physical training for self-defense. It's how capable and ready are you physically, mentally, and emotionally. And it's all those things, right? It really, because a fight, even just being under attack or threatened by somebody, takes a toll on all of those. And so, and it takes a lot less of a toll if you're really truly prepared for that. But the less you are prepared for that, the more, at least the first time you're attacked, maybe the second or third time too, the more, and the first time being the worst typically, where it's really a serious attack, the harder those things are. And you can lose a situation just because you get beat on any of those levels. For whatever method of fighting you have you stress tested it? You need to work against resistance and enough resistance to understand how the method works against that resistance. Boxers know how to do when another guy is trying to box them or brawl against them. Wrestlers typically know when somebody's trying to hit them and trying to out-wrestle them and the other stuff, because they've had that thing. Tai Chi, we use push hands to do that a lot, but there are other training aspects too for stress testing the stuff, including you should do it against people who are trying to do some, trying to box and brawl or wrestle, those kind of things. Have you been in a few real fights? It makes a difference. Somebody that's been in a few real fights has a great advantage on all these levels than somebody that's never been in a fight at all. I've taught this to law enforcement officers who have had to fight a lot and who typically have to subdue. They're not allowed just to beat the living daylights out of somebody, even when that person is fighting. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but I'm saying typically they're trying to subdue somebody, and especially if they're working like mental institution, it's you can't be beating the crazy person. You've got to subdue them, and you got to do it with the least amount of harm to them possible. Ideally, that's zero. And so that's a person who knows how to fight, because they've had to do it with a lot of they're at an extreme disadvantage compared to what the attacker can do anything, because they're breaking the law and doing what they're doing. And the person who's trying to do things the right way, they're at that disadvantage of not being allowed to just take the gloves off and do whatever. That kind of thing. Anyway, so it being in the few real fights, you get an officer who's been in a couple fights and start showing them things, they pick up a lot faster. Now, they don't if it's really some aspect of the training that's really, really super odd compared to anything they've experienced before. That can take them as much, and sometimes depending on their mind, longer than it would take someone else to get. But if as long as it fits within the parameters of, oh, yeah, there's a person there, there's resistance there, and I'm going to do this now. They're not having to overcome their own mind's resistance or effect that they got from being in a situation now, right? And so what are the rules in the street and in the rule? What are the rules is a big factor in a fight with Tai Chi or anything else, right? And that is in the street, surviving means you win, right? And to give you an example, one of the biggest things you see in the UFC that is really a bad example of how it is not reality is you get a wrestler who dives in on somebody's leg and their head is right there where the person can take both their hands, whether they're standing still or whether they got knocked down, and they can reach the person's head on like both sides and the back, right? And in a real situation, that's called you thump them real nice and hard on the spot in the center of the back of the head, which is illegal in the UFC. If you do that to somebody, let's say they came in and they shot on you and you bang, tapped on the top of the head. If it doesn't do anything to them, you still get automatically disqualified. If you hurt them, if they get knocked off you or stopped or something, you get disqualified. If they get knocked out, by the way, the most common result is they get knocked out. That is the easiest spot on the human body with that much force to technically knock out somebody. And if you give it even just a little bit more, it'll knock them out cold. And there are people in UFCs that have won matches that way and been disqualified immediately. The guy got carried off on a stretcher with a concussion, going to the hospital, and the trophy went with him. That guy that got knocked out wins the fight. That's great in the UFC, but in the real situation, they're going to, the trophy, they could give you the trophy, and then the guy who's the criminal on the street that attacked you is going to pick up that trophy and beat you to death with it while you're knocked out. It's not a real, it's, you know, so what are the rules? In the street, surviving means you win. And so being knocked out cold, and you didn't win in the street if that's what happened to you. Okay. The back of the head KO is also illegal in boxing and most other martial arts sports of any kind. That's a no-no. You're not allowed to hit there. All right. But it is an extremely easy target. In the UFC, it's most commonly people who have at least some grappling training, even if they're not primarily a grappler, who are winning. And that back of the head KO is the easiest target against most grapplers most of the time. It is not a hard shot to get, but it is an illegal shot in that situation. All right. None of the above things I've talked about changes a basic fact that the Tai Chi fighting method is the Tai Chi fighting method. Just like boxing is boxing, Muay Thai is Muay Thai, MMA is MMA, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Each of those arts are what they are. Tai Chi is Tai Chi. So somebody can say, how does it fare against the others? You know, that's a good question to ask on a certain level if you were being attacked by somebody doing one of those things in the street. But it doesn't negate the fact that if somebody says, well, I'm taking a little bit of what Tai Chi I got, and I'm mixing it with some boxing, and I'm mixing it with MMA, and I'm mixing it, you know, okay. So really, you're an MMA guy that's using a little bit of Tai Chi, maybe, you know, or a boxing guy with some Tai Chi skills going on there or more, whatever it is. But you can't claim that it's a Tai Chi method now. It's these other things. The Tai Chi fighting method is the Tai Chi fighting method. Win, lose, or draw in a situation, the Tai Chi method, fighting method, is still the Tai Chi fighting method. It looks like Tai Chi. It does not look like other things. There isn't a Tai Chi method you're going to see, a real one that comes from Tai Chi, that looks like a boxer doing boxing or kickboxer or a wrestler who's doing like Olympic wrestling or a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy. Because it's not those things, it's Tai Chi. Winning versus losing situations. Boxers who only box lose in MMA matches due to the rules, and that the grapplers get in there and they use grappling stuff on them, and the guy that can box, he's not allowed to hit him in the back of the head for that knockout, which in boxing it's illegal too. And due to the rules and the way that it's done, generally speaking, somebody that can only box tends to, the vast majority of the time, they lose in an MMA UFC match. MMA fighters lose in boxing matches. And I'm using the Conor McGregor losing to Floyd Mayweather fight by technical knockout. And he wanted to get him so bad he could taste it. And he's a champion in UFC, but he could not beat Mayweather in a boxing match. And again, the rule set determined who was winning that and how they were winning that ahead of time. The only way that Conor McGregor would beat somebody in boxing who had basic proper boxing skills would be if he could outbox them. And so let's say you took that all away and you left it that he's a grappler, but he's having to fight by boxing rules. You take your average golden gloves boxer and they're whooping the crap out of him in a boxing match for the same reason. The rules are going to be lending themselves to the boxer winning. Most empty hand martial artists lose in a knife or gunfight. You know, they did that thing where they came to a gunfight with a empty handed or with a knife at 20 feet. And they're not going to win that normally, right? And empty-handed, definitely against the knife or the gunfight, it's typically going to be a really bad day. There's an exception to that. That's why I say most empty hand. But the vast majority of the time, the empty hand martial artist doing boxing or MMA or jiu-jitsu or whatever, the guy's got the knife or the gun. This fight, they lost now. So the rules made a difference. By the way, the Tai Chi guy threw a gun at 20 feet's got a problem too, right? So the fact that those empty hand martial artists will lose in the different scenarios I'm talking about doesn't invalidate them. Boxing's still boxing, MMA's still MMA, empty hand martial arts are still empty hand martial arts, right? Tai Chi is still Tai Chi. It means that you can't hold up a single standard and have it apply to everything. You know, somebody sees a Tai Chi method, or we're talking about Tai Chi fighting, and do that in the UFC. Take your knife and go, you know, I'm a knife fighter. Let me take my knife and go into the UFC. Why don't they say that? Because the rule sets don't allow for it. Well, I'm going to do things to the Tai Chi guy that they don't allow for either. you know, hitting them in the back of the head. There's an awful lot of Tai Chi movements that are open palm coming down into that kind of position. It's also context. The boxer boxes really great, but he loses in the MMA match. The MMA fighter fights really great, but he loses in a boxing match. So context does count for something, right? And it doesn't invalidate the fighting method because in a particular context, it may or may not do so well. It really depends. There's a lot more factors and a lot more things you have to intelligently consider than what most people are when they make those statements like, it, like let's see that in the UFC, right? Okay. Obviously, an MMA UFC competitor is a trained extreme sports martial arts fighter. Most average folks will lose a, trained in regular street, you know, martial arts karate, whatever you can find on the local street corner martial arts, or they're not getting in the ring and fighting, and they even train methods that could be used that way or that are thought of as being used that way. Most folks doing that will lose to someone who is an MMA UFC competitor. Because, partially due to simple things like they don't have the fighting experience that the guy who's in the ring's got. They also, if you're going to be a ring fighter, a professional MMA or UFC guy, the vast majority of them have excellent, supreme conditioning and daily training, at least when they're really training up for a fight. And based on conditioning alone, they will beat most other martial artists because they can just wear them out. Many MMA UFC guys have lost real fights in the street. Over the years, I can't tell you the number of times that I've heard about so-and-so got shot and are dead, and in a number of cases are dead because they went into a street situation with, I'm a tough guy, and I've been in the ring fighting, and if they were in the ring fighting, they'd be good. And they go after the guy who then this happened in San Francisco, and the guy was like a UFC champion, and the guy with the window down, you know, that far, blam, 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 and shot him to death. There was a guy in Tampa that got on one of the bridges between Tampa and across the bay that was a guy that was going to be an up and coming fighter and was skilled, and he got into a road rage incident with somebody coming across that bridge, and they did the pullover thing. He pulled over, he comes running up to the car, and the guy shot him to death. So a lot of MMA UFC guys have lost real fights in the street, and that's just the gun ones I'm talking about. They've lost in bars and stuff, even when it's not been, and stabbed and other things too. But even in when it's been just empty handed stuff, and it's because they went into a venue expecting things to go certain kinds of ways that did not match the fighting experience that they've got. So they were better than most people in the sense that they've been in fights and had fights. But they came with a very specific idea about how fights should go that wasn't what was happening in the real street situation that day. There's a big difference between the ring and the street. And if you don't understand that difference and you're a ring fighter, don't go looking for trouble. You shouldn't be looking for trouble in the street anyways, but don't be stupid enough to think that all the skills you've got are magically going to do everything you want them to do in the street, because you have underestimated what a real criminal is likely to do. They're not trying for a fair fight ever. Survival-based self-defense can be as simple as hit them in the throat before they hit you. And that's a common street tactic, by the way. Be calm and smart enough to easily avoid the fight in the first place. So again, survival-based self-defense. And Tai Chi, when it comes to self-defense, it's thinking about survival, not can I beat the crap out of that other guy, normally, okay? Survival-based self-defense can be as simple as knowing your surroundings and how to use them to your advantage. The street is concrete and steel, cars and buildings and concrete and pavement, and it's not a padded floor. It's not soft walls, it's not rules, it's not referees, it's not tapping out and you get to walk away now. You know, they're gonna let you easily walk away. It's not anything like any of that. The aggression is there. The fact that there might be physical interaction is there. But on other factors, it's a whole lot worse. You get a guy that's used to grabbing somebody and driving to the ground, a lot of times you get people in like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and the first time they get in a real street thing, they do that and they hurt themselves badly as they smack the concrete because adrenaline is taking over and the automatic thing they're doing takes over. And that was great on a padded floor. It does not so smart for concrete. By the way, on Tai Chi, I know that in their school, maybe you've got padded floors, but for us, we work on hard wood, and I'd like to work on concrete, and have spent a lot of my martial arts time training on concrete and going to the ground the way you should go to the ground on concrete. And there are definitely ways you should not, and all that stuff. And so when somebody's not used to that, they're outside their normal venue and can really get harmed. They can harm themselves, like I said, just because they're not used to what this set of rules involves. Like, don't run headfirst into concrete thinking you're plowing somebody else into concrete, because you may severely damage or kill yourself as much as you're going to do anything to them. Anyways, the Tai Chi fighting method, win, lose, or draw, is still the Tai Chi fighting method. But only the Tai Chi fighting method is the Tai Chi fighting method. If you want the Tai Chi fighting method that really is Tai Chi, then you have to get it from somebody who knows it. You can't just make it up and expect it to be okay and right. It's just not going to be. Just like saying somebody that's a kid wants to box, they end up doing what we think of as like fisticuff poor brawling. But you put them against any trained boxer and they get their butt handed to them 99% of the time. Like directly and easily. Same thing. Sifu,
I'm sorry. You keep referring to the Tai Chi fighting method, but there are actually multiple.
There are multiple Tai Chi fighting methods, right. But each of them were developed over decades, centuries, by people doing Tai Chi that had the fighting method first and had things like cotton boxing, that was one of the earlier forms of Tai Chi. And that really is a codified, this is how they wanted to fight. And it was based on very advanced understandings, very high level intellectual, understandings of movement and strategy and positioning and factors for power and speed and position. And all that stuff, right? And I'm referring to any of that as the Tai Chi fighting method. And that if it's not those things, you know, if it's something where somebody did a Tai Chi form, never got taught an application of any kind or very little, and now they're just making it up, they're not doing any better than the kid who wrestles on the playground, goes to a professional wrestling venue and thinks he can go up against people that are Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts or collegiate wrestlers, you know, and they're going to get turned inside out. The guy that just brawled on the playground, wrestling around, he's getting his butt handed to him like instantly, fast, wham, and he's already tied up bad, right? Not even any struggle for them. And it's the same thing. Somebody that makes up a Tai Chi method goes up against the real Tai Chi method. It is literally like an adult to a little small child. It's just ridiculous, the difference in ability most of the time. That does not mean and that's saying pure Tai Chi method to pure attempted, not a Tai Chi method, but where the person was trying to create such a thing. They're basically taking people who were very advanced, had very understandings about martial arts, very advanced understandings about internal arts, very advanced understandings about Tai Chi principles and how they would be used and dynamics of what we would think of as like physics and mechanics, and applied that to fighting situations and tested it out fully and thoroughly for real. And you know, there's just not going to be a comparison to somebody that kind of thought, well, gee, I think it kind of does this. There's just not going to be a comparison there. Again, bear in mind what I said. If you think, well, then do that in the UFC. Okay, those are also well thought out, and they're well thought out to fit within the rule sets that they're playing by. So if I had somebody that was a young man, who is, you know, healthy and strong and able to be trained to be quick and powerful and wanted to take the method and to learn the rule sets of whatever the, whether it be boxing or MMA, UFC type stuff, whatever it is. And they have the mindset and the attitude for fighting with that, but can also pick up Tai Chi, then they're going to do okay on in the venue. Any of us who are older Tai Chi guys, like in my case, I'm 55, I'm a diabetic type 1, which means it's the kind that little kids get, and and my sugar can drop low at any minute. So I go into a professional fight, my sugar drops low, you know, and then at that point, it's like, let's just say you had a mild stroke and you're in the middle of a fight. You're in deep shit. You better have other fighting stuff you can do, mostly like somebody to carry you off or get you out of there. All that stuff. Now, most of the time I feel like Superman, but you know, if I'm going low and that happens several times a week, I have to sit down, I have to eat something, and I have to wait for the 15 minutes to half an hour for it to come back to being okay. And then I'm okay. Basically type one means you don't make insulin, and it's not that, oh, I can do some diet things and other things to do it. Nope. It means no insulin at all. The way I get insulin is externally. When I take that insulin, it's designed to mix with the sugar in your body, and then it gets metabolized that way. And so if you don't take the insulin, your sugar level goes up, 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 and to the point that you go into basically a stroke type situation, and it kills you. If you took a bunch of insulin and no food, your sugar goes down, 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 down until it gets somewhat low enough that you keel over and go into a coma and die that way. It's the right mixture of insulin and food. There isn't any other kind of a fix for it that I have seen, and I have looked far and wide. If you have type 2 diabetes, I and a lot of other serious Qigong and Tai Chi practitioners have great things for you. And for 8 or 9 out of 10 diabetic type 2s, your symptoms should go away. Now, I'm not telling you they will. I'm saying that the percentage is very high, that proper diet, proper exercise, and other kinds of activities will fix that. Type 1 cannot be fixed this way. You should still have a good diet. You should still do the exercise and be all healthy like that. And I am. But that doesn't fix it. All right. So if you want the Tai Chi fighting method that really is Tai Chi, or the Tai Chi fighting methods that really are Tai Chi, then you have to get it from somebody who actually knows it. The Tai Chi Chuan fighting methods include internal power training, body mechanics and how they're used, Tai Chi movement for fighting, specific breath and breathing methods for power, stamina, endurance, etc. E, mind intent training and mindset training. How does boxers have a mental approach to a fight? And depending on the boxing method, different ones. So do a knife fighters. They've got a mental approach to a fight, whether that be slash and dash, or whether it be stab, 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 and overwhelm. And there's names, some knife fighters all have different names for this kind of stuff. Hit and run, different kinds of things. Anyways, Tai Chi has a mindset about fighting, and then mind intent that you train and use. And it's specific. And the different methods, there's some differences to the different methods and approach. But there are some commonalities too. I'm talking about for the Tai Chi fighting methods. All right. Tai Chi fighting methods and strategies, and then there's specific ways in the Tai Chi to pressure test and to make sure that you have the skills and that they're going to work, and that you're going to be able to do them against different kinds of resistance, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, when I told you about the 55 and diabetic type 1, so when somebody says to me in the UFC, if I'm feeling good, I'm like, go jump in a lake about me going into a professional fighting match with a bunch of rules that I do not train by, do not think about. I think about street very seriously. And so my normal approach to that's, why wait? Attack me now. And we'll see how that goes. And let it be you, the person who's running their mouth here, because the people I've met and know that are real fighters, most of them, not all of them, most of them, they don't have that attitude. They understand, especially if they're really, truly a pro at it, they understand a lot of what I'm telling you here. They may not want to say it, depending on what they're selling, but they get it. The people that don't get it are the ones that they're trying to sell what they're doing, especially if they're an MMA teacher this kind of thing. And I just don't have time for that. I really trained and have trained extensively for street. And with the Tai Chi method, once I got that, and I got it, I started it in 1983, was when I really got exposed to it. And it was so cool that I had to have it. And that was, and I was young, you know, I was 19 then. And so that was wise, because I already had a bunch of fighting stuff, was training that and kept training that. But the fighting Tai Chi fighting method was so cool. I was like, I got to have this. And it was one specific method in a high level, and it's what we call the ghost fighting method of Tai Chi. And so that's why I did it. But eventually I got better and better at it, and I've used it for real. And then I've got this other method that I got, and like, that's much simpler and easy. The ghost fighting method is hard to get. It's advanced. We, in our workshop for it, that's our basic one, we don't even, I'll give you tools and keys to help you to eventually get the ghost fighting method. But I'm not teaching that out of the gate. It's too complicated. It's too sophisticated. It requires some fairly high level skills that you're going to have to put some real time into. The ones that I'm teaching in our basic program for that, which as we're recording now, this is November 1st. We will be teaching this program this coming January. And then once we are done with that, we're going to have it on video. It'll take us some turnaround time, probably 60 days, give or take, before we've got that ready, maybe longer. But we'll be trying to get that turned around so that people can purchase it. But it won't have the high level method on it, but it will have tools and keys for that. And there will be some high level things in there. In fact, a pretty good smattering of it, but all designed to be palatable where you can pick it up pretty quick and use it, because there's no point for the first level coming in like that to teach it and not have you use it. And we have the ghost fighting method. It is for sale. You can buy it. Just know that when you get that, you're going to have to be ready to dedicate somewhere between a year and 3 years to that method, to get the method, because just the proper song, that softness in the right kind of way, takes people a long time of really dedicatedly working on it. I worked on it, fighting with it twice a week, every week, for a year before I could really use it right. And getting my butt handed to me just every week, week in, week out. And so that's what you're going to have to do to get the ghost fighting.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
The martial art of Tai Chi is about softness defeating hardness. So how can Tai Chi have an iron palm? Iron palm is just a fancy kung fu name for a powerful hand that can do a lot of damage without getting injured. Tai Chi gets that with a method called internal iron palm. With the internal method, your opponent feels like you have a brick in your hand, even though it feels relaxed and easy to you. Internal iron palm only uses your own body and your own mind. You do not need a training partner or any extra equipment. Once you know the internal iron palm method, you can do it whenever you have time in as little as 5 minutes a day. My name is Richard Clear, and internal power is what I do. I created a unique online course to give you internal iron palm almost on autopilot. The program is so successful, I put a money back guarantee on it. Find out more at internalironpalm.com. That's internalironpalm.com. Thank you.